Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just praise you. Thank you, Lord, for all of this, for the time that we're in. It's great times, different times. Let me put it that way. And Father, we just thank you that we have you as our lead God, and we praise you for that. We thank you, Father, that you're also our protector, provider. You also give us the things that we need. You lead us into the things that we need to go to. You also teach us what we need to be taught. And we just praise you for that, Father. We thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you. We thank you, Lord, for new revelations coming forth. And not only that, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful people that we get to be with tonight. And share our love with them, and Lord, share your love with them. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish this night. Lord, I thank you that your power destroys the enemy right now, trying to come on here and destroy our communications. In Jesus' name, I bind you up and cast you out of here. You will not have any problems. Nobody's going to have any problem with the communications tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay. Anybody else want to pray? I do want to pray one thing. Let me thank you just a minute. I bind up the forces of evil against this country in Jesus' name and cast it down. And I thank you, Lord, for exposing all the nefarious and corrupt and evil things that people have done in this government in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for opening up all the files and exposing everyone that was involved in Trump's attempted assassination in Jesus' name. And not only that, Lord, I thank you for exposing the drug companies for what they are. And the head of the medical professions that are complicit in that debacle called the COVID-19 in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for all that you're doing in our lives and this country's lives too, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Canada, I should say, man, and South Africa. Thank you, Lord. Okay, has anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Ben.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, go ahead.
I think everyone's involved in the group chat here, so I think everyone knows what's going on with my brother-in-law. And, you know, some recent news. He called me today when I was at work, and he was saying that he was going out on a walkabout. I was like, what the heck is this guy talking about? And he's saying that he's trying to find God and he's trying to get closer to God. And, you know, all things that are good, but I really tried to emphasize him. He's not very far. I tried to emphasize faith. I tried to emphasize that it's all been done. All of his burdens are put on him. You just got to give it to him and stop trying to do it by yourself. Just let him do it. I tried to keep it plain and simple. I gave him a couple of more verses. I gave him Matthew 11. Forget the verses, but come unto me, all who are weary, heavy laden. I shall give you rest. I also gave him that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, just to try and keep it simple. So this walkabout, it's been explained to me, he's going to go somewhere and find God. I don't know, kind of like a pilgrimage is what I'm thinking it is. And he went to Huntsville. Dad probably knows what I'm talking about. It's about like a 3-hour drive, and apparently he's coming back home now. So praise God for that. I don't know what he's doing. He's saying that he's not consuming marijuana or mushrooms anymore. So I'm praising God for that. He apparently got rid of all of it. So, but I also want to bring my sister into this because she is very surprised as to what's going on. You know, she's all by herself right now and she's pregnant and very distraught. So Karen and I are going to go see her tomorrow. So I'll start out with the prayer. Lord Father God, I just want to thank you that we can always come to you with our burdens and our fears, and we can cast it on you, Father. We know you're faithful. We know you can hear us. We know you're with us right now, Father. Father, I bring up Zach and Megan and the future child to you, Father. I just pray a heavy protection on that household. And I cast down any sort of kundalini, voodoo, drug spirits that are on my that are on that house. And I rebuke it down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I set loose the spirits of love and peace and faith onto there and let Zach be the leader of that household, showing love and faith properly, not in his own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that you've put into him. Father, call him to a higher calling and get him out of that spiritual voodoo-ness that he's probably used to hearing, or this religiosity that he's sort of holding on to from his past experiences with you. Just help him focus on you, Father, and just to slow him down, to be patient, and to listen for your voice. And I cast down all of these distracting spirits from him, Father, the distracting spirits that are just trying to cling on to him. And I just pray that he lets go of all these things, Father, that are holding him back. He knows that he needs to let him go. Just work into him to finally throw it away. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, as it says in Exodus 15 and 6, Father, that you would release your glorious power against the enemy in that house in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that the enemy is gone. Zach, there's no longer got any kind of giving clarity of thought, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that you're going to run somebody by him that he'll listen to, that has the truth of the gospel. And we praise you, we glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Zach, be delivered in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for his coming into for granting repentance and bringing him into the truth of the gospel, Lord, and only the truth and not some silly religious outfit. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. The thing that I would tell Zach, Ben, when you talk to him, is that the Bible is the word of God. And if he can understand it, if you think he can understand it, explain numerics to him and how that the Bible is the word of God. And once you do that, then say this to him. Said, the only thing the Bible tells us to do is to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us what the Word says and not man. And only men who are filled with the Holy Spirit can teach the truth, only the truth. It has to be people that are filled with the Spirit of God, because if they're not filled with the Spirit of God, they'll teach you the fleshly way. That's all they know. They don't know anything else but the fleshly way. And once you establish that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, then you've got him locked in on what truth is. If he sees there's no truth except coming out of some preacher's mouth, he'll understand it if he gets in the word. That's what I always do when I go into a church like that. or used to do. I hadn't done it in a long time. I'd go in there and tell them. I said, now I'll ask them, is the Bible the inerrant word of God? And they'll say, yeah. I said, okay, if the word of God comes against your theology, then which one are you going to choose? And then, they'll look at you. Oh, yeah, we're going to go the word of the Bible. Well, a lot of times they will. Sometimes they won't, because they got a religious spirit. But you have to prove that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. And you can do that very simply with numerics. Go ahead, Julie.
I just want to pray a little bit to Father. I thank you and praise you, Lord, for Zach. And I thank you, Lord, that he wants to find God. And your word promises, Lord, if we will seek you with all of your heart, we will find you. It says that a few times in your word. And we ask God that you would draw Zach to Jesus, to the real word. Mm-hmm. We bind up all lying and deceiving spirits, all new age, all deception has come in. Those voices we command to be gagged and removed in the name of Jesus. And we lose the angels to do that. Father, I thank you, Lord, for putting it in his heart as he has clarity of thought, as we've already prayed, Lord, that he will ask you for the truth, and that you would give Ben wisdom and discernment, and just to speak what he knows and understands, and that you will lead him and help him, and that you got people everywhere, Lord. Zach could run into somebody who filled with the Holy Ghost out on his walkabout, and in search of you, and God can speak through anybody. So we pray and believe for that too, Lord, in Jesus' name. If his heart's really towards you and finding you, we thank you, Lord, that's already done, because we believe in household salvation. We believe in the power of your word and prayers of agreement, and that the devil is bound and Zach belongs to the Lord, and the enemy has to leave in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for what he has to go through right now to know and understand that we can all be deceived, but you're the only one that gives the truth, and that you've heard our prayers for this, Father, and that he's going to come to the revelation of the knowledge of the truth. He's going to know who he is in Christ. He's coming into the kingdom, and the devil can't stop him. And we thank you, Lord, for doing more than we can ask or think, Lord, and give Ben peace, give Andrew peace, give his wife peace, Megan and their baby. Lord, we just pray blessings over that family. And we just thank you, Lord, that all confusion is shut up and removed, and that the angels are clear in the air all around them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe with Julie that this is coming to pass. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anything else? Anybody got another prayer request or testimony? I got a couple of testimonies. Man, I was out walking yesterday. I was booking along, doing real good, man. I was jogging on down through there, and I hit a thing that was standing up above the ground. It was wood. It was hard, and it hurt. Right on the end of my big toe, where the toenail and the thing meet, and it just, man, I said, oh, and I thought I broke it. I said, nope, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to put up with this. Lord of God. And I was walking and limping and trying to get up, because I was about a mile away from the truck. And I said, thank you, Lord, I'm here. Thank you, boy. And the further I walked about 100 foot, and the pain was completely gone. I figured I'd open up my shoe and there'd be blood all over the end of it, you know, into my toe. No blood, no nothing, man. I mean, all that crying out and hollering and, it hurt, you know, and I almost fell on the ground. But God just took it away, just like that. Took it away. I said, ain't you something, God? You are so cool. Thank you, Father. And he took it all away. There was not even a bruise on my toe. Thank you, Lord. But it wasn't big to y'all, but to me, it was big. Lord, because I don't like pain at all. It is something that is, I'm a horror to it. I don't like it. It's abhorrent to have pain. It's just against the law for me to have it. Lord of God. All right. Anybody else? Oh, I had another one, didn't I? Yeah, go ahead, Missy. I'll let you give yours.
Whoops. Sorry.
Where'd you go? This is going to be a bad one if she has to hide.
No, I did that by accident. I wasn't feeling good earlier today, and I was just fighting and battling, and just thanking the Lord. And then I guess after dinner, I just slowly started feeling better, and I was just like, "Thank you, Lord," because it usually doesn't happen that way, but you know. So I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed and all pain is gone and I'm delivered. And I'm not even going to say what it was because it's non-existent. it's just a lying symptom, and I'm healed and I'm delivered. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. Amen.
Amen. Yes, you're delivered and healed in Jesus' name. Joe, thank you, Lord, for giving Joe some electricity. Lord, he likes electricity. Electricity is good, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Looking mighty all lit up there like a Christmas tree. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you, Lord, not just for the light of electricity, but the light of the life of my life. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you. You're going to keep it on. I don't care if everybody else don't have no life. Joe, go have life. In Jesus' name. And then he's going to say, how come you got life and I ain't got life? It's the glory of God. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And then you could just go on with him. Yeah. Okay, I got another testimony. We prayed about this night before last, or I'm sorry, Monday night. My grandson. And I'm not going to mention his name that way if some of my family is listening, which is a doubtful. But anyway, he called and was just boo-hooing about his girlfriend had left him. And he was just so lonely. He wanted to about, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Well, he treated her kind of bad at times. And I guess she just finally got messed up about it. And he called Jeanette and asked her, said, well, baby, what am I supposed to do? I want her back. I love her. Da, 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 da. You know, all that whining stuff. And Mimi said, well, I'll tell you what, Blake. I mean, the other one, that's not what it was, Blake. That's the other one. That was the youngest one. Anyway, she said, I'll tell you what you do. You do like your papa used to do. He said, you go buy some flowers. And you go take it to her and you buy you a bunch of flowers. Don't buy just one or two. Buy you a bunch of flowers. Take it over to her and ask her to marry you. Instead of y'all shacking up, just ask her to marry you. And he said, okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. I know it's going to work. Papa did that. Yep, Papa did it. Did it work for him? He's still with me. So I added that, not what she told you. But anyway, he did do all of that. And this morning he called her and said, yeah, I said, I was able to talk to her. What she was wanting to do was wanting to go with her mama to Hawaii and live over there. And he's trying his best. He said, oh, I just miss her so much. You know how young people are. And anyway, he called her this morning. He was all happy-fied and everything. And then told her, said, yeah, I said, it worked. Said, But she's not going to come live with me. She's not going to marry me until, you know, for a little while. She just wants to date for a while. I said, well, she's going to try you out, boy. That's what she's going to do. She's going to try you out. Make sure you're going to hold to your word. And he said, he quit smoking and he quit drinking and he quit doing all that stuff. I said, well, you got to hold the line. Got to hold the line. So God helped him walk that line, you know, because we prayed. We prayed last night. And this morning's when I got the message. So praise God. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in my grandson. And I praise you, Father, that you're going to bring. And another thing he told her, well, I'll go to church with you too. And she said, I didn't think you believed in God. I said, oh yeah, I believe in God. I believe in God. Papa told me about God. I said, but I just didn't like church. And she said, okay, well, we'll see. So God's working in two different areas there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for my grandsons. All right, anyone else? I don't guess you men ever had to do what I had to do once or twice or 13 times. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, my thought is him going to church. Father put it in his heart to read the word and make sure he's hearing the truth. And if he's not hearing the truth, Amen. He pointed out. In Jesus' name, Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Hey, can I tell y'all something that I read today from a minister? He said when they started their family, him and his wife, they were both Christian, that they would always read Ephesians 6, 1-3 to them every morning. And they tried to do it every day. And he said, you know, and if you know, anybody knows what Ephesians 6, 1-3 is, don't you? Honor thy father and thy mother, and you'll have, what is it, great health or great life or long life. You'll have a long life. And anyway, he said, we never had a problem with sickness with our family because of that. Never had any problems with the kids either. That's something to think about there. That God's word works. So, Ben, if you ever have a family and you start reading that word to them about Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Those are good words. In fact, I'm going to talk to my children, my grandchildren about that, doing their kids that way. I can see how it works. So they never got sick, and they're grown and gone. Never got sick while they were home. That's amazing. You want to read it, Ben, if you got it? Okay.
Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the commandment first with promise, that it be well with thee, and thou be long lived on the earth. And ye, the fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the Lord's chastening and admonition.
Yeah, just verse 3. That, what does it say there? It says, and it will be what? Well with thee?
That it be well with thee, and thou be long lived on the earth.
Yeah. It will be well with thee. You won't be sick. That's awesome. And all right, anybody else got something they want to pray about or testimony? Well, if not, I've got a little song that I'd like to sing. I'm not singing nothing, y'all. Y'all ain't right. I do have a song, though. Let's see here.
dancing in the flames. The people cursed his name, bowed at the altar of the father of lies. But there's a number to their days and all their evil ways. The Lord's gonna turn away from all their cries. Oh, revelation, I can feel it coming like a dark train running. Oh, get ready, 'cause the King is coming. The King is coming back again.
Yes, Lord.
Brimstone upon their heads, millstones around their necks. They'll feel shaken when the trumpet sounds. And no matter where they hide, there'll be nowhere to run when Jesus puts his mighty foot on the ground. Oh, revelation, I can feel it coming like a dark train running. To the evil ones and all the wickedness they've done, there'll be no time to turn around as the stars begin to hit the ground and the mountains fall and the veil is torn with the sounding of that seventh horn. Oh, revelation, I can feel it coming like a dark train. Before his days were done, the King is coming, and it won't be long.
The brethren overcame it by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. Glory be to God. Mm-hmm. Awesome. My goodness. What do you mean? Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I watched his interview with what's the guy's name?
Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I like what he said about his dad. His dad was a street preacher.
Yeah. He got some real bad flack for being a street preacher. He got showered with spitballs, I guess. He got his spit upon quite a bit. And Louisiana, I think it was.
Yeah. And he also went over to Russia and worked with the underground church over there. Yeah. His dad did. I like that song, man. That's a good song. Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to share before I share something? Yeah, Missy.
Can we pray for him?
Sure. You go ahead and pray with believe with you.
Lord, I'm not judging him, but Father, we know what your word says, and we pray that you open his eyes to see the business that he's involved in is not pleasing to you, Lord. He has his own whiskey company and two bars. And so that kind of lets you know why I want to pray for him. Father, I believe that you are using him, and I thank you and I praise you for that. But help him, grant him repentance for this, Lord. Turn him around. Bring him out of the world, Lord. And then you can really use him even more, Lord. Help him to know that his life has to be right with you too, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for the work that you've already done in him. And we praise you, Father, that you are bringing him along that road to get rid of all of that stuff. But it's not going to be a hindrance to you. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for what you've already done in him and what you're fixing to do in him, like Mrs. said, getting rid of all of the flesh. And we thank you for it, Father. And I know it's a process, but I know at the right time, he'll do the right thing and get rid of that stuff. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Missy?
Yeah?
What was it you said? I had to go into the kitchen. I missed what you said that he needs to not be doing.
He owns two bars, one in Vegas and one in Nashville, and he has his own whiskey. So, anyway. But yeah, thank you, Lord. You are using him, and you are doing a work in him, like Michael said, but bring him even further, Lord, that he just totally not compromise and rid him of all the leaven. Bring him to the point where he hates the world. Father, you know, you've convicted him about not compromising and doing things that record companies would want him to do and not being able to speak out. And you know, if he had a record company, that this song or wouldn't be played, they'd never let him do it, Lord. So just continue to rid him of that compromise with the things of the world, Lord. And thank you for doing that. Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I think he produces all his own stuff, doesn't he? Yeah, I think he does. All right, anybody else? Excuse me. Okay, I got something I want to read you. And it's a prophetic word, and I believe it's for today. Okay? Now listen up to what it says, because we're going to talk about it a little bit. My son, behold the place of worship, the place of fellowship. That is the place of rest and peace, in stillness and in quietness. You hear my voice as I speak to you, Communion is what your Father desires of you. To walk with and to talk with my children is what I long for. This fellowship and communion is what I created my children for. Did you hear that? This fellowship and communion is what I created my children for. It is in worship that this bond is established. For how can you know someone with whom you do not fellowship with? Or how can there be communion where no relationship is? For too long, my children have attempted to know me out of and through their works. They attempt to find me and to hear me without ever getting to know me. Their legalistic mindset has been fashioned in them from those who sit in authority over them, who call themselves my servants, who are not my servants, nor do they know me. So they preach and teach my children, my sheep, out of what they do not know. For how can the sheep fellowship with me if their shepherd does not fellowship with me? Or how can they know how to fellowship with me if they are taught out of works instead of intimacy? Where did my word ever tell them to operate out of works instead of love? Where does my word ever tell them that they can only please me through their works? It's the hearts of my children that I have always desired, not what they can do for me, but only that they would love me as I love them. This is all that I have ever desired for my children. Yet they attempt to continually please me and satisfy their own conscience through the works and the sacrifices they perform. This is a futile attempt, as I have already given the perfect sacrifice, my son, for them. And by his grace, they can now enter into the kind of fellowship that I have always desired from them. My children are taught falsely, and so in return, they react wrongly to my word. I will hold in great account those teachers who stand in the pulpit and profess to know me, but they do not. But I will also hold in account those sheep who listen from the pulpit, but they do not check what is being said with me or my word. That's why it is of great importance that they be guided and led into the truth by a teacher and a shepherd who truly cares for their well-being. They must give themselves over to the Holy Spirit, who will in turn reveal to them their one true shepherd, their bridegroom, and the lover of their souls. This is the only way to turn them from the many years of false teaching and doctrine that have so ingrained their souls and spirits. They must be turned from the darkness of deception into the light of my truth. The truth must be spoken to them. They alone will choose whether or not they will hear it, but my sheep must be given an opportunity to hear the truth. My truth will be established in these final hours of the church. My truth will prevail. My truth will be the foundation of which they can establish their hearts and minds, knowing that they are walking in the fullness of that truth. And when my children walk in that truth, then their true spiritual eyes and ears will be open to see and to hear my truth. This is the only way to bring them out of their deception. Is by my truth, by the standard of my word, by the foundation of truth being established in them by their one true teacher. The importance of being inoculated against the deception of this age will become greater and greater in the days and years that follow. My children must know me and my word through the revelation of their teacher, my Holy Spirit of promise. That's the teacher. That's our teacher, is the Holy Spirit of promise. No longer will they be able to look to man, nor to hear man's teaching who is puffed up by his own intellect and knowledge. The revelation that my Spirit shall give will be truth. Look to me and to no other to find the absolute truth. Find me and find the truth. Heed the men and women of me who speak the truth, but look past them to see me. You must be like me, my children. I desire you to not look like any other man or woman who walks with me, but to look like me and me alone. And as you behold me in my face, you will look like me. You must be obedient to do what I have called you to do. You must hear my voice and go where I send you. And do what I tell you. I alone am worthy of all the glory. I alone will receive all of the glory. Become that nameless, faceless generation that I desire you to be. Do not be distracted by man or by the opinions of 1,001 words that are not true. But set your heart, your mind, and your eyes completely upon me. It is looking to me and me alone that you can be all that I have created you to be and to do all that I have destined for you to do. Selah. Wonderful word, isn't it? And related this last night in the meeting. We had a good discussion afterwards. Can anybody sum up what I just said in just a few words? What this guy said. What's he want us to be? Go ahead, Andrew. You got it.
How about the truth will set you free?
Come on with it, brother. Yeah, that'll preach.
Yeah. And, for freedom, you were set free. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have freed us from the law of sin and death. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. There's a double freedom verse in Romans chapter 8, which kind of helps people to think that all creation was given over to vanity, but, it was in God's hands to do that, because God has a hope for us. It's God's hope in 8 and 20, His hope. Is an expectation that he expects from men. And of course, the next verse in 21 gives the double freedom verse there. And, he wants that the glory of Jesus to come into the people so that they could be children of God. And then the verse before 20 is 19, where he wants another kind of maturity, a son to be born from that too. And it's very interesting on how the Lord really leads you and guides you and tells you what he wants of you. I mean, he wants you to love, people who have gone from one place to another searching for the Lord. And in the midst of it all, they get called and they're on this journey. And suddenly they end up in a big wreck, And they have to come out of that where they ended up, And they have to come out of that because they've been to this place and that place and that place and that place and that place. And they go, well, there's some things here that are wrong, It ends up crashing in them, and they crash, and they crash. And God has to rescue them from that last crash. And you don't tend to forget that last crash you went through. when you meet up with someone who's in the midst of an accident. So it's a thing that you learn, and you want to you want other people to go through and learn from God and be led by God to make it through that those things that you made through, and to make it to the end, to be a good witness, that no one take the witness away from you. And you don't want people coming to tell you it's this way or it's that way. You know, we're approaching those verses there that where he said, oh no, he's in the wilderness, you know, don't go, you know, like we're getting closer and closer to that place, you know. And you know, there's these people who have these questions, you know, and queries about, you know, Matthew 24, and the 24:24 is they say, well, what kind, why are you interested in that bad guy's signs and wonders that he's going to do? You know, you're interested in the Lord's signs and wonders, what he wants to do. And you know, we've already seen some of those signs and wonders, because they're spoken of in 13:13 of Revelation. So, you know, the Lord shows you things, and then you don't really have anyone to share them with. And then if you do share them, they'll think you're three fries short of a happy meal. So you just go on, and some of the things it's personal, and some of the things you can share, you know, and some of the things we've seen, you know, on how fire comes down from the sky, for instance. And the Lord gives you little hints here and there. You can see things that go on in the world, and but it's like when he's talking to the people, Jesus discusses the sign in the sky. You know, there's signs today that that you have to be able to discern as to what time we live in, and what's going on, and how to relay that to some people is kind of hard. So you've got to wait on the Lord to lead you how to do that. And it's not really good to do it texting over the phone, you know, like if you have a nice son-in-law and stuff, it's not a good way of doing things. You should really try to talk to them face-to-face. But sometimes you're kept in the dark of some things that are going on, and then you find out, you go, wow, you know, like, this is in the family. And so you really got to press into God and find out your journey. It's a journey that ends up in the great place, the greatest of places. And it's a journey of new life. And that's what we need. We need to follow him. When he calls, you follow. You want to be worthy of the calling where you were called with. And you want to walk in love, imitate your Father, God. And you want to walk, you know, in the light as he is in the light, and have fellowship. You know, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all your sins. You know, there's blood in that verse, and there's light in that verse. And that's why you're going to have an unveiled face, because it's going to shine. You've got different blood in you now. It's shiny. Shiner, more shiny than the whitest snow, you know. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know, you get a lot of snow here in Canada, and you can go out, and when the lights reflect off a fresh snowfall, you can see diamonds in the snow. And it's luminous. It's really cool, even with the moonlight. And so, you know, we got to shine for the Lord. We have that taste that Moses had, but he had the veil haze. So the blood mixes with the light. I'll tell you that much. It says it there. And the voice, I just, you know, John said it more than once. You know, he said, in him was life, and this life is the light of men. So we have to shine. We have to shine that life. You know, if it doesn't pass the light test, if it doesn't pass the spirit test, if it doesn't pass the water test and the blood test, you know, what kind of stuff is this? You know, we have God's word. And one verse that came to mind when Michael was sharing that was the one in Psalm 138. He's going to magnify his word. It's not the whole verse. He's going to magnify his word above his name so that you can be really close in there. Because, you know, the word, it starts with the word and then it goes to the life and then the life in John 1. And we have to walk in that light. That light is a new life in him, and it shines. I like when they had that verse there. I never realized it. I read it just the other day, and I went, hey, there's light, and then there's the blood of Jesus there, and there they mix together. It's just so wonderful. Some of the things you can be showing. And too many people given in the religious areas always trying to warn people, but we need to, I think people now need a lot of edification and consultation. There's just too much exhortation. You know, I think they probably did it one after another, you know, exhortation, consolation, and then edification. Build someone up after you warn them, you know. Don't leave them on the edge of the cliff there so that they can fall off. So, and I just wanted to share that because, you know, you have experienced things, and these things that you have experienced and you're overcoming through your distance of life. Some of you got grayer hair than I do, but, you know, everyone has experienced some things, quite a few things. And you gotta share these things in a sense of wanting to have faith for someone else and love for them too. So you've been through stuff that you've overcome because of God allowing you to go through and overcoming these things so that you can be a light to someone else to overcome also. You want the best for your neighbor. You want the best for even your enemy. And you want the best for family. So, the love of God is wonderful. I'm just rambling on now, so I'm going to leave it to the next person. Praise and glory to God. You know, if you ask for love, He's going to have to give you truth. And if you ask for truth, He's going to have to give you love. Praise God.
Amen, Andrew. That's right. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
Can you read that first part again about the worship part? Is this, you know, I believe it's just, you know, wanting to worship, you know, our Creator, our Maker, our Father, our Savior for all that He's done and all that He's given. And it's like, you start there, you know, and it's just really wanting to, like, when you really appreciate grace and you know what grace is and you understand what, you know, we didn't deserve any of that. And it just really does make you want to worship and love Him and seek Him. It's like, who are you that you would do that for me? You know,
the other day, just on that note, I was just worshiping galore the other day because I was going through so much. And there's even one of the songs that they do sing on the Fridays where it you worship in the midst of your pain and suffering. And it's really wonderful. It kind of calms you down. Because you're going through some things there. And, you know, with family stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, My son, behold the place of worship, the place of fellowship. That is the place of rest and peace and stillness and in quietness. You hear my voice as I speak to you. Communion is what your Father desires of you. To walk with and to talk with my children is what I long for. This fellowship and communion is what I created my children for. It is in worship that this bond is established. For how can you know someone with whom you do not fellowship with? Or how can there be communion where no relationship is? That's pretty neat.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, and that's, he created us to worship. I mean, you know, it's for all eternity, and we start here. You know, we enter in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And, you know, it's just, when you think about all the scripture, I used to think this way in the church. It's like, how am I going to worship and praise God and tell him thank you every day for the rest of my life and eternity? What is that? You know, it's like, it was beyond me because I wasn't there, you know? You know, I just wasn't there. It's like, wow, I worship and praise God forever. And it's like, because there was no emotion with it. There was no depth to it. There was no, because you just sing, you know, you just sing and you listen to that. It was all, you know, just church. That was what church was. There wasn't anything. It was dead. You know, it was a dead church. That's what religion is. It's just formality. It's tradition. It's all that stuff. But boy, once God got a hold of me, and as you all know, each one of you, you know, it's like, it is different. And you know, and the depth of that when it grows with you, you know, how much God loves you. When you start getting that revelation, and when you pray in that prayer that, you know, Paul wrote for us to pray in Ephesians 3 about that, you know, that he would have strength to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge. Oh, wow. You know, that we're going to have that. And we're going to have that for all eternity. And we're going to be in that place. You know, it's just, that is the fellowship, I believe, that the Lord wants us to start. I believe that we can have that right now. Here. In this world. That it is just the worship of who he is and what he's done and the greatness of who he is. And you read all those scriptures that, you know, the psalmist David wrote, which I believe he wrote a majority of all that, you know, it's like sing praises to his name and glorify him and worship him and in holy array and all these things. It's like, how do I do that? Except, you know, just here's my heart, Lord, you know, my heart, you know, my, you know, in like, you know, Andrew was saying, it's like when you're going through trials and just be able to lift up your hands and praise God for what, you know, for my trials, you know, because I'm just me. Where can I go now? I'm stuck. Anyhow, it is about worship. It is about intimacy, and that's what he desires of us. And Lord, bring us all to that place. One-on-one. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Julie. You'll ask me. He created us. He said he created us to fellowship with him. And how many of us do it all the time? I don't do it all the time. I want to be at that place to where I acknowledge him all the time and praise him and thank him all the time. I do thank him a lot and praise him, do all of that. That's what he wants us. He wants us to be his friend. Go ahead, Andrew. I'm sorry. I just had to put that in there.
It wasn't like I ever thought of doing worship before we were going through something. It's just that I made my little book of all the songs, copied them all out with my pen, you know. Got to go to get my school supplies because all my pens are empty. And I said, I think I'll just worship. And I remember reading something about this, and I just started worshiping. Because you don't think of it when you're going through something bad, you know. And when anxiety jumps on you, you know it's anxiety. You got to get rid of it. So, it was a great comfort just to go and worship God. To get near to him and ask him a bunch of questions. You'd be amazed how many questions comes up about your life and the life of others and how you're supposed to believe after something like that. And he reminds you of things that you had to go through. So, and praise and glory to God. And, you know, I just on the same note, you know, like, my family, we never worshiped together. It was like that, you know, 15 minutes in church, you know, on a Sunday. You know, but how many people just get up and go and worship, you know, start worshiping God? You know, you've got all this wonderful music. You know, I copied it down, you know, because when you're all alone, I just wanted to have some fellowship. So I said, I better start worshiping God, you know. You know, it's really nice to write out some of these songs, you know, and some of the older ones. So it's amazing how you can just put the whole song in your head on some of them, too, and remember all the words. You know, you sing it a few times, and you can sing it and praise Him with it. And the comfort and the joy of being praised. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ and thank the Father. And it's wonderful. And it just makes you, when you talk about worship, it wants to make you start singing to the Lord and praising and thanking Him for everything. So praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, we all do. I've got a place that I go down here by myself, and I can be there because nobody ever comes down there much. It's a little park. And, man, I tell Jesus, come on. He said, I'm waiting on you. Come on. So we go down there and we have fellowship together. And I walk around, I talk with him, and I pray. And it's just awesome. It's just awesome what God shows you when you do things like that. Can I tell you what happened last night? Debbie knows. Last night, during the worship, praising worship, the Lord showed up. Jesus showed up. He was in heaven. I saw him in heaven. He was sitting on his wooden throne. He's got a wooden throne he likes, I guess. He sits in it all the time. And it's just a plain wooden chair with a high back on it. And it's just what I've seen him in. Anyway, he showed up and he was just having a good time with the praising worship. And then Anna and Obadiah got up and sang a song. And when they did, Jesus, he went up on the edge of the thing and he started looking down. He was watching them like that. He was so pleased with what they were singing or what they were doing together, Mama and the little boy, you know. It was awesome. But that's what I saw. And he waved at me again. I know what he was trying to do. He's got a funny streak in it, man. I'm dead. Yeah. He's got a, but I did. I waved at him. But, yeah, he really enjoyed Anna and Obadiah singing together. That was awesome. And Chuck saw it too. Chuck said he saw it too. So that was confirmation, you know. God does that. That's awesome. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Debbie.
Well, I just wanted to share some of last night too. Okay. Remember that Chuck said he sensed the same thing, but she's looking down. And then when we got in the car coming home, Sue starts telling me how, you know, I had the same feeling. I had the same sensing too. I could sense the Lord, that Jesus was there. I could see just almost my spirit looking down at us. And I said, so did I. So did I. Amen. And I even felt like in the spirit, I saw him with brown hair. And then she had said the same thing with brown hair. I didn't really awesome. See a vision of him, but I had the sensing of brown hair. Like I could see it in the way. But I sensed him too, looking down. I didn't see him get lean over like you said, you saw, but
yeah.
I sensed him looking down. And I wonder how many more did. I think maybe God was just doing that to everyone last night, but
I don't know.
After you said that first,
two, three, four of us that saw him.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's why I always speak it out, because I want somebody to confirm it, you know, because, you know, and I'll tell you, for most of the, he was sitting up just like this, and he was watching us, and he was just having a good time with us. But when Anna and Obadiah jumped up there to sing, he got up on the edge of the chair, and he was doing this, and he'd wave at me, and he'd get it was awesome. He enjoyed Anna and Obadiah getting up there and singing, mother and son, you know. It was pretty neat. And I was surprised when Chuck said, yeah, I had that same feeling too. I had the feeling that the Lord was looking down. And he was. And then now Debbie and Sue confirms it also. Okay, anyone else? I'll tell you something else he did the other day too. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you what the Lord is doing. Yeah, I believe so too, Julie. I believe he enjoys our private worship to him from each of us. Yeah, that's right. I was out walking the other day. I may have told you this. If I did, forgive me. But I was walking, you know, and I was going down to the blockhouse, which is a paved path down to the blockhouse. But then it's this great big grass field, I think. Well, I say it's probably a couple acres is all it is. Anyway, when I got through worshiping the Lord and praying and doing the things that I wanted to, I was headed back up, and I said, when I told the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, he was walking right beside me. Jesus was. I saw him. He's walking right beside me because I told him to come go with me. He said, yeah, let's go. And he was walking beside me. And I said, you know, Lord, when I was a kid, me and Donnie Barnes used to walk around with arms around each other like pals, you know, like little boys do sometimes. And they're piling up. I said, boy, that'd be neat. I just thought it. I was just thinking about it, and the Lord put his arm around my shoulder. I said, ain't this special? This is awesome. And I was so amazed, and I was so lifted up in my spirits when he did that, because it was special to me, because I had some pretty good friends when I was a kid. Anyway, now I got a good friend. I'm his kid. Did any of you men ever do that when you were kids? Have a good friend that you piled around with? And I'm talking about when you were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you know. Boy, y'all have missed it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if their moms are going to let them pal around at 5 or 6 years old. Did you really?
Donna Barnes is my best friend. He lived right across the yard from me, down in the country. We was piled around for a long time. He lives somewhere else now. I hadn't talked to him in years. And the last time I heard anything about him, he was a teacher at a boat tech. College or school, or whatever you call it. All right, anybody else? He was a decorated Army soldier, too. He went to Vietnam, got him a couple of medals. Anybody else on communing with the Lord? I'll tell you a question I'd like to ask. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I should raise my hand. I had a little dream last night. You talked about palling around like that. It was just kind of quick. I was walking on Student Road with somebody, a friend, and we had our arms close around each other. And then someone would come around, walk by, and we'd say something, and part, and then they would be done, they'd leave, and we'd get our arms back around each other, real close to each other, walking, and someone else would come by and we'd say something, and they would leave, and we'd get back together real close and just walking, our arms around each other. That's what I had the dream of, so I don't know what that means, really, but I've been wondering about it a couple different times today, thought about that. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I don't know who it was, unless it was close to type of the Lord, I don't know, but it was very quick and
awesome. Do the girls ever do that? I've seen them do it in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
Pile around with each other. Yeah. Go ahead, Julie.
What was coming to me, Debbie, is just kind of being like bonded together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bonded together, you know, next to each other. We're getting closer and you know, a distraction might, maybe the people coming up to talk to you were distractions from you being in unity or but you always got right back together. So it wasn't like it wasn't being broken apart.
That's what I felt too. But this person, I don't know who it was, and it seemed a bit like a dark. I don't think it was the enemy or anything like that, but it was just a vague person. And that unity, yeah, that fun. Good.
I'm there. What if it's behind you? Yeah. The other day I was in here and I told Ariel, that's my angel. And I told him, I said, boy, I sure would like to see you in the natural. Boom. There he was, right there. Just boom. He was just showed himself. He, yeah. Hey, Cheryl.
Blessings, everyone.
I guess the question I'd like to ask everybody is to help people out there that was trying to commune with the Lord, that how do you get into that realm to where you can hear him and listen to his voice? Maybe we could ask that question. What's the way that you can do that? Yeah, Debbie.
Well, from what I was experiencing the other day, I really knew that, and talking to the Lord, and so I just want to get closer to you. I'm going to spend some time in talking to you. And so sometimes, maybe it's just me, but you just don't know where to start with him, you know, until you get used to it like you are, you know? And not that I never talked to him, but I felt like it was at a point where I needed to get over to really start talking to you. So I went over to my chair and just started talking to him, just thanking him for things and thinking, I know he's blessing my family, and which led me into praying for my family, which got me into the Word and praying things in the Word. It just took off. I just had to start. It seemed like lame when I was starting, but wasn't lame to him, I know. And so it was so cool. And since then, it's been a little easier to just start talking to him when I'm doing anything in the kitchen or whatever I'm doing. And he just leads your thoughts. I think he leads our thoughts. You start praying for somebody, and it goes into a scripture, and then it goes into maybe a worship song. But to just start making sure you're just really doing it with personally with him. So that day I just started, and I didn't know really how to start. For some reason, I should know by now. What's come to me today was a thing I listened to, one of David's videos, and said, this is not the time to start climbing the mountain, folks. You gotta, by now you should be on that mountain. You should be there. There's not time to start climbing there. I thought of that today. I thought, oh God, I'm really sorry. Help me get up this mountain. You know, I believe I'm there though. I believe I'm there. I'm just going to start talking more while I'm on this mountain. So, anyway, just start. He honors that when we just start. He loves us and really the son. Hearts are sincere.
Amen. Okay, Missy, go ahead.
Well, Debbie, when you were just saying that just started, just made me think of the scripture, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. You know, just take that first step. And, you know, the Lord just, you know, gave me this, you know, when, a while back, I think I mentioned this on the outreach once, you know, you just pick up the phone and it's like picking up the phone and calling somebody and, you know, they're going to answer. You're expecting them to answer. And it's the same way with the Lord, you know, he's no different. You know, just like, hey, Lord, you know, although that's not how we talk to him, but it's, you know, you get what I'm saying. But, you know, just I think the faith and believing that he's going to actually answer, you know, too, you know.
Amen. Well, that's crucial too, is your imagination. Using your imagination is crucial in believing and to listen and hear the Lord, in my opinion. All right, anybody else? You want me to pick somebody up? I don't want to do that. I do it different ways. I'll praise God for a while, pray in the spirit mostly. I like to pray in the spirit a lot, and I do. I walk around the house praying in the spirit. And then, because when I get with the Lord, I'll get over here in my chair, most generally. I just get sit quietly and ask the Lord, you know, what is it you want to tell me, Lord? With a notebook and a pen in my hand. And listen to what he has to say. Write it down so you won't forget it. And actually, Eve is the one who taught me how to do that. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
Because sometimes it's just, you know, like you said, using your imagination, but just, you know, it's like, Lord, I know you're here. You know, I may not be able to see you. One day I will see you, you know, but you are here. And a lot of times I will ask him, it's like, Lord, this is, you know, my time is yours. How am I supposed to spend my time today? These things I know I need to do. And I need your help to do them. You know, I ask for his help to do what I, you know, what I know I have to do today. And I said, Lord, it's like, I really hate the distractions. It's like, you gotta, you know, help me, you know, be strong against my flesh, you know, so because right away, the enemy's already distracted me sometimes immediately when I wake up with something, you know, some affliction or whatever. And it's like, well, no, that's just, I know you've healed me and I know you've delivered me and I know this is, doesn't belong in my body. And, you know, I'll start talking to him and I'll start praying in the spirit, you know, and sometimes I feel led to start putting some, you know, I call it my war music, you know, where I'll just start going into warfare. Sometimes if I'm oppressed, it's sometimes like, I'll just put on some music and start praying in the spirit and singing these songs that are, you know, are meant to be, you know, that things are happening in the spirit realm when those songs are playing. And sometimes I'll just put on instrumental music and pray in the spirit with that for a while. And then the stuff will lift off of me. So it's, you know, and it's like, well, Lord, get me in your word today, you know, and because that's been the hardest thing. You know, it's just the distractions that keep me from sitting at his feet and just really reading with the intention of learning and doing a word study or seeking to understand something. And I might just get so far into it and then something will distract me. And it's like, as soon as that happens, I'm like, okay, well, Lord, you know, I don't want this distraction, but you know, it is a war sometimes, all the time, just to to be diligent about doing these things. But I know God's not up there going, look what you didn't do again, you know, or something. He's not like that. That's the enemy. He'll want to accuse me later about, you know, see what you didn't do or see what happened again. That's not him. So, you know, it's just understanding that, and he's not doing that. And thank you, Lord, you've already overcome my flesh. So he'll work it out, those details. But then just getting into the word, and sometimes you'll have me, you know, it was just when I know the Lord's done it, because he makes it so easy, I'll just start, you know, reading something where I felt like he was telling me to read, and I'll just start praying over it. It just flows, you know. So I think the Lord's just, what he's teaching me in that is like, don't get into works about it. Don't feel like you have to do it. Like Missy quoted that. I think it was Missy quoted that scripture about, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and you'll take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, his burden is easy. And it's like, he's not telling me you have to do this. Do this, do this. It's not like a ritual, you know, because then it just becomes that, you know. So I can get up and do this. Okay, well, I got, what, my time's yours. What are we going to do today, God? Jesus, what are we going to do today? And cause you've got my day planned, and, you know, I, like I said, I have to do this. I want to do this, and go with me and help me do this. When I'm in the kitchen, just like, okay, Lord, help me do this, cause I don't want to make a mistake, and don't let me cut myself. You know, help me. Don't let me cut myself in here. There's not going to be any accidents in the kitchen today, you know. And, but just being mindful that he's here, you know, just being mindful that he is here. And he is watching me. He's listening to me. And sometimes I'll hear him talk to me. You know, when I'm in the kitchen, just when I'm doing something, you know, or he'll just come to my mind and say, yes, thank you, Lord. Look what you did for me. Thank you, Lord. You know, so I don't know. It's for everyone. It's all just individual relationship, one-on-one with the Lord. And he knows us intimately, whether we're there yet with him or not. It's like a, you know, little children know their father, you know, little kids, you know, as they grow up, you know, young adults, they know their father a little bit more. And it's just kind of like what you shared in that word about being accountable of, like, the preachers who've been teaching them, you know, the lies from the pulpit and stuff, that they're going to be held accountable. But each and every one of us is going to be held accountable too. I was like, are we going to just take them at their word? Are we going to seek to know the truth ourselves? Is, you know, it's, his grace is huge. And he knows where they're at. They don't have ears and eyes to see, you know, to hear and see yet. We do. We're, you know, so it's just, you know, it's just, he's just really getting to know, understand his grace and his mercy and his love for us. That he's just not up there making me do something because of something he wants me to do. It's like, he just puts it in my heart. Okay, this is what you're going to do. And if you don't get it done today, don't beat yourself up. Right? So, praise the Lord.
Well, that's a good point. Don't get in condemnation if things happen and you're not able to get to him at the time. But you can talk to him all the time. You can talk to him all the time. Praise God. All right, anyone else? I had an experience that happened to me three nights ago, at 3:30 in the morning. I heard this, Michael, woke me slam up from a dead sleep. I mean, I was sleeping like a lamb, boy, I'm telling you. And I don't do that usually. I sleep real light. But I heard this voice, Michael. And it was loud, and it woke me up. And I knew that it was the Lord telling me to get up and pray. He didn't tell me who, but I got up and prayed. I prayed for an hour. I got a release, and I went back to bed and slept 30, 40 more minutes and got up. But how many of you have ever had the Lord holler at you like that to wake you up in the morning and to do something? Yeah, Debbie? Joe?
Mine wasn't recent. What I really remember was years and years ago when I first started really walking with the Lord. Years ago, before I didn't so much and had to get back with him again. But anyway, I was really seeking him, and I would stay up really late listening to, well, back then it was just stuff on Moody. You know, I loved what I was hearing because I was hungry for it. And I know it's better now, but with that, it meant a lot to me and ministered to me. And I had to get up really early for work. And I'm going to be really late. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. It was terrible. And one night I said, Lord, I'm so tired. I got to get my alarm set. And I said, I'm not going to set my alarm. Like, because something that was being said on what I was listening to made me think this. I'm not going to set my alarm. Down. I want you to wake me up. Would you please wake me up in the morning? And he did. I heard this Debbie real loud. And it woke me up. He woke me up. Woke me up. So, yeah. That was mine.
Amen. Well, I actually found out later that day what it was all about. All right. Anybody else? What he woke me up to pray about? Anybody else have that experience? Not the Lord waking you up. Yeah, Jenny.
Yeah, I was waking me up for the middle of the night to go pray and stuff, but it wasn't like, hey, Julie, get up. It wasn't like that. It's just, he woke me up, and I just knew by the Spirit, you know, come sit and pray, you know, kind of thing. But it wasn't like an audible call me by name kind of thing. But, you know, you're Michael. You need that, I guess, so.
Was that something else?
That's how he talks to you sometimes. Michael, wake up. Yeah. You knew you were just sleeping.
I've heard... It seems to be David hollering at me. He'll holler at me instead of coming up here. He'll holler at me, and I'll go outside and say what it is, you know. I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. I'll say, did you say something, David? No, it wasn't me. You know, many times like that. We've got angels all in this house, and I think sometimes they just like playing with me.
Julie, that morning I was expecting to hear that. I was expecting like the same thing. He just wake me up. I wasn't understanding anything back then about these supernatural things. That really shocked me. So I just wanted him to wake me up. Well, he did. Anyway.
Well, praise God.
Kind of like your Heavenly Father calling you, waking you up in the morning. Debbie, time to get up. Right?
Yeah. Go fix us breakfast. Go ahead, Joe.
Let me tell you this. I think I told this before, but I'm not proud of this, but Lord, wake me up once. Well, it was the Lord, wake me up. And I was sitting in my bed, I think maybe I'm going to sit and pray. And I come and sit in my chair. And I wonder, Lord, there must be a reason you woke me up. Well, afterwards, I think about maybe just sleeping, but this, why do you have to give a reason to wake you up? And that's a bad experience. Oh, well, not bad. It's just coming to me and says, the Lord don't have to give you a reason to wake you up. He wants you to be sitting, listening, or praying. That's just experience.
Anybody else? All right, what y'all want to talk about? How many of you listened to the broadcast Friday night? Okay. Is there any questions about what David talked about? Do you even remember what he talked about? What did he talk about, Missy?
Well, let me preface it with this. I wish I could listen to it again. I got to admit, there was this one little part where I kind of dazed off. And so right after it finished, I went back quick. And I'm glad I did, because now it's not, we can't listen to it. They didn't post it. Anyway, it was about God reversing timelines. Actually, I think it'd be pretty cool if you wanted to read Anna's dream again, because that'll kind of be a refresher. Because I couldn't quite remember what it was, and I asked Julie, you know, if she knew what it was or whatever. And I don't know, but anyway,
what the dream was?
Yeah, Anna's dream.
Yeah, I got it. I'm not gonna read it now. David asked me not to do anything from that. But what I really wanted to do is ask you, or tell you this: how many of you understand quantum faith? Does everybody understand quantum faith? Just in a simple, very simple way, quantum faith is this. Mark 11:23-24. That's what quantum faith is. Mm-hmm. And he explained it Friday night. If you were listening or not falling asleep, you could understand what it was. You know what I'm saying, Missy? But quantum faith is, hang on, I'll get you an extra. Here's something you can do, you know, that you can do. I'm just going to throw this out there. If you have a tattoo on your body that you don't want, you can confess and believe that it's gone and it'll go. If you have red hair and you want blonde hair, you can confess and change your hair color. If you want purple hair color, go get you some dye. Oh my. Yeah, Judy.
I was just going to kind of say what you said, in a sense. It's just like, it's just confession unto salvation. It's speaking into existence what you are believing God to do for you. It's speaking to your mountain, you know, and watch God do it. And not get doubtful, not get double-minded, not get distracted, not be moved away from the hope of, you know, of your, you know, a firm expectation, right? It's like, it's gonna happen. God, you do not lie. You will not fail. You cannot, you have promises you made. If I ask you anything, you said you would do it. And I remind them of that all the time. Mostly it's reminding me that that's what God said. You know, it's not like he doesn't need a whole lot of reminding, right? He knows what he said, but it's like, okay, well, Lord, you said if I ask you anything, you said you would do it. I'm holding you to that. And it's just reaffirming what I have spoken, and, you know, so it'll come into existence. And so it's just helping me to, that helps me just keep going forward. It's like God promised. He doesn't lie. He confirmed it with an oath. He said two immutable things, my promise and I made an oath. He's not going to go back on his word. He would not be a liar. He would not, you know. He's not going to let you be put to shame if you trust him and you say, God said, and you go out in faith and speak something and do something and expect him to answer you. And it's overcoming this up here that says contrary. You know, your senses, the, you know, like we've been listening to, it's just putting to death those carnal senses and those vain reasonings and the stuff of natural that we see, feel, taste, hear, smell, all that stuff, those senses. And Miss your mic's still open, FYI.
No, I'm sorry.
David said, even time and a curse cannot be a hindrance to us if we learn this one key. What's the key that David had? I just said it a while ago. Go ahead, Susan.
Oh. Do not doubt in your heart, but believe what you say will come to pass. You know, all things whatsoever. Believe you have received, right? Whatever you ask.
Yep. Mark 11:23-24. Yep. That's what it is. That's the key right there. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith come to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things, whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. That's the key right there. And that's quantum physics right there in two verses. That's what it means. Yeah, Andrew.
Now that you reminded me, I remember that now. Something about different timeline and quantum physics. And the two verses, he gave those to 11:23-24. But I have a question. Is the verse in John 19:30, it is finished, also agree with that timeline? Because if it's finished, then you just went into the time machine.
Hadn't come out yet, have
I? Yeah, so it just came to me, and I was just wanted to reiterate that. As if it's finished, you know, it's kind of done. Anyway.
Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believes. There's another one. If you believe it, it's going to happen. Also, 1 Corinthians 1:28 says that God has chosen the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. Glory to God. Well, I'm claiming I got my dusty blonde hair back. Glory to God. And it's going to happen if I keep on confessing it, believing it, walking in it. Yeah, Julie.
When the scripture was coming to my mind, when Andrew was quoting, you know, it is finished, is Hebrews 4, where he's talking about entering into the rest, and Hebrews 4:3. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he hath said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He's already done it, and Jesus finished it all, you know, at the cross. And that's why we can go boldly to him and say, I need this, Father, and I need this, and so-and-so needs this, and I'm believing for this person, and he said, come to me, you know, in boldness, and you should, you know, and ask me anything. And Esther went to the king, right? And he spoke to her, even half the kingdom. What is your petition? What is your request? I'll give it to you. We don't have to beg, you know, for the things we need when it's already been granted unto us. Jesus is our inheritance. He's everything, you know. Praise God.
Amen. Yeah, Missy. Don't talk
about it. Oh, no. What fascinated me, that David talked about, that is in direct correlation to Anna's dream, was about the last issue with the water and the lines and everything. And he was talking to his angel, and his angel watched him all those years that he worked at Exxon and knew how to do things. And David was asking questions. Well, did you check this? Did you do this? Did you? No. And he was like thinking, he was like, finally realized that he just took that the Lord just took back to the time where there was nothing wrong with it and brought it up to the present time.
And placed it in there.
Yeah. That's like cool. Placed
that time out in with us.
Right. And this is what came to me about that. Because Michael, I couldn't find it. The Confession of the Word pamphlet that you gave me.
Yeah.
I was thinking about all this, and so I was thinking, I'm not even sure if I was really thinking about that per se, but I was like,
what in the world are you talking about?
Let me think here a minute. Let me get myself straight. Okay. I was thinking.
Praise God.
I was thinking about, yeah, I got a mind. I was thinking about, how our deck really needs to be redone. Okay. And I'm like, Lord, like, what are we going to do about that? You know, I'm just kind of like, you know, and he brought to my mind David's situation that he shared about, you know, he can go back to where the deck was in good shape and everything and bring it forward, you know? And then what he brought to my mind was in the pamphlet, it was talking about, you know, the Lord forgive, putting our, sins in the sea of forgetfulness, and God forgets about it and as if it had never been. And so this is what I was thinking. Since Jesus took away our sins as far as the east is to the west, put them in the sea of forgetfulness as if they had never been, then the curse of sin is as if it had never been. And another thing, it's restoration, reversal of the curse. You know, it's just, it's like God's wiping out that piece of time, because time is in our realm, which is temporary. Right? Mm-hmm. And with God, there is no time. So he can just, this is what the Lord was showing me. So he can just, and he's showing me more as I'm saying this. he can just take that piece out of that time, that piece of time out, wipe it out, and take things back to the way they were. It's restoration. It's kind of like, you know, what came to my mind too was, Abraham and Sarah, you know,
that just came to me.
That Bible study that David did, I forget what it was called anyway, but, and even thinking about, you know, what's come to me too about Adam and Eve, you know, when the Lord, I think we talked about this the other day a little bit in the outreach, I think, when we have that DNA restoration, the Lord's going to take us back to before there ever was sin, just like Adam and Eve in the garden, you know?
Yes, Barbara. Yes, Barbara. The Lord, so when you have repented, let me ask you, Barbara, right quick, because she's having some trouble there with the timeline thing. This is the timeline that the Lord has. When you have repented of your sins and you believe that you have, guess what? The Lord says, forget about them. They're gone. You're a new creation now. You're a new creation. Everything is gone. He has taken you back to where sin was no more. That's what the timeline is. That's the same thing. Okay.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, therefore no curse, you know, and, you know, our deck needing to be redone is the curse. It's corruption. It's in time. Anything in time is not eternal. It's moth, rust, you know, and all that stuff like the word says. So, you know, don't store up your treasures on earth. Store them up in heaven where moth and rust and thief does not break through and steal, you know. But anyway, it's just like, wow. So I got to thinking more, and I'm like, just thinking about how that would apply, this timeline thing, to relationships with people.
Can I tell you that one? Because this happened to me. You've heard me tell this too. And that is that time that we were in a prayer meeting downstairs in the morning meeting. And lady asked David, he said, can I believe for my dad that he's saved? And David said, well, yeah. Said, the Lord doesn't dwell in time. Don't know why you came. That's the same thing we're studying now. It's this timeline business. So you can believe for people in your past that you believe that weren't saved, and God will bring them into the kingdom, because he can change the timeline and have them come into the kingdom before they die. You see how that works? This is
yeah, now that isn't the, that I understand that's not what I was thinking though about relationships.
Okay.
I was thinking about like relationships with spouses.
Okay.
And remember when I was talking to you all back before the when we still we're in this mood of knowing that Planet X was coming and da 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 da, and you know, getting us to safety and so on and so forth, and you know, and the I believe this was the Lord. The Lord put it in me that even though my husband wasn't on board, and because I'm believing for him, that the Lord could take us and translate us to Tennessee. And when we get there, he totally understands and knows everything and is in faith and healed, delivered, blah, 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 all that stuff. Just because I was believing for it. Because God sees it happen, he can bring it, he can even bring it, he can be, I don't even know how to explain it, but I know there's nothing too hard for God. Uh-oh. So I believe that, you know, I don't have to see it for it to happen, because God already sees it happen, you know, and I believe that the Lord can actually do that.
But here's your job, is to keep confessing it and don't waver and start complaining because you're not getting what you want right when you think you ought to get it. And that goes for all of us. It does. It goes for all of us. Don't waver. Say, nope, I don't receive that in Jesus' name. You know, you can say it in your mind. You don't have to say it out loud, but you can confess it out loud. We're going to Tennessee, da 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 da. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it'll happen. Well, I know it's going to happen if you keep on confessing, believing it.
Oh yeah.
This thing with this DNA restoration method, that's timeline stuff, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So the Lord reminded me that I had told you about that after David talked Friday and was talking all about that. And it was like the Lord showed me, yeah, Missy, you were getting it more than you thought you were getting it. You know, it was the Lord I believe that was a gift of the Lord to give me that thought, that revelation that he could do such a thing. Just because I'm believing for it, I don't have to see it manifest go through a process of manifestation, because I'm believing for it and asking for it and confessing only that, that it can be like that. Like that. Is that cool? Oh, yes. What?
Okay. All right. Let's see praise what Andrew Lord. Has. What you got, Andrew?
I'm going to let Ben go first.
Okay. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Okay. Well, just bringing up this whole timeline thing, and I'm thinking outside of the box here.
Yeah.
Would be like, and you, I think I'm catching on what y'all were talking about.
Did you hear him say y'all? I saw that. Lord of God, he's becoming a Tennessee boy already. Go ahead, Ben.
That we all can have faith. That we all can have faith for people in our past that we have claimed that are unsaved and they've passed away. Can we have faith for them to receive faith? God will change the past and then they'll be in the kingdom. You're nodding your head yes, so that's the answer.
Is that a question?
That's a question, yeah.
Yes. If you believe it, if you believe it, you stand on it, when you get to heaven, you'll see it. That's just like my father. That's the reason I asked. I was listening because I heard her ask that question. It was Patty's who it was. Asked that question. And I said, I got to find out what this is going to be about, because I had questions about my dad. And he said, yeah, you can believe for that, because he doesn't dwell in time. Well, now, since then, here comes this timeline thing that's come into our midst. And I've really found out about it when we were dealing with the missionaries over in Africa. And we had two timelines going at the same time. I said, what is this? Well, it was God teaching us what this timeline is. You can believe for one and not believe for the other, and the other will go away. You see what I'm saying? You have one timeline that's doubt and unbelief, or you believe the regular, or you can change the timeline to the more positive. So if you've got someone in your past that you know that wasn't saved, and you want everything by, you know, you want them to be saved. Of course you can. Thank you, Lord, for changing that timeline and saving my friend. You can do that, Biz. Mm.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I thought so. I thought so. This has been a few years back that I found out about that. And I thought, my praise God, Daddy, I'm going to see you when I get to heaven. Lord of God, you know, and I know I am. And you can see your friend or whoever it is that you're believing for. Thank you, Lord, for saving, you know, whoever it is. And I'm believing for it. Yeah. That's what this timeline is about. It's about taking God out the box. Because you go in some churches, you start talking like this, give me a break. They'll throw you out on your head, man. This guy is a heretic. That's what they'll call you. And this is so cool, because it opens up so many possibilities. What about somebody laying dead in front of you? I thank you, Lord, for changing the timeline. This guy is alive in Jesus' name. This guy is alive. He is raised up, and he's alive, and he is healthy, and he's walking in divine health, Lord of God. Watch what happens. Yeah, Barbara.
Well, sorry, I hit the wrong. Okay, so I have a son-in-law, and, you know, I'm believing for household salvation, my daughter's husband. Well, he, his son, his dad was murdered, and he was not a Christian. And so, and I've been wondering this for a long time. Can I just believe that, you know, the timeline, it can be changed, and he's saved. He got saved. Can I believe that? I mean, you know, that he's saved, and he'll be in heaven.
That's what we just got through talking about.
Right. Absolutely. So I can do that just like that.
Yeah, listen to me just a second. Here's what can happen. Here's where I always envision this, Barbara, is that right before they die, Jesus help me.
Well, this,
they're like the thief on the cross.
This is a little bit different. He was in his sleep. He was sleeping. And someone.
How do you know he wasn't dreaming about it?
Well, I don't know that, of course, but I mean.
Okay, well, place it in his mind.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Get yourself out the box. That's what we're doing. We're trying to keep ourselves out the box. Always believe.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll work.
Thank you. You guys all believe with me that his dad is saved. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, I believe. Thank you, Lord, for doing what it takes to get that man saved. We know that he's going to be up in heaven thanking Barbara when he gets there. Praise God. Go ahead, Missy. You got your thoughts together?
Yes.
Okay, good.
You brought up the very thing, what you said, it was the very thing that I was going to ask about. Ask about. You know, it would have to be...
Be careful.
A last minute thing, I would think, you know, like you said, because, I mean, a person... that person didn't have any time to, okay, repent and believe in the Lord and then fall away later.
Let me preface this with something. I said that as something that could happen, but don't rely on that. How do you follow this person around all the time? He might have came to Jesus because God knew that you were going to pray and believe for him. He might have come to Jesus the day before, which you didn't know about, and then all this stuff happened.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? So we can't put him in a little box and say, well, he had to said, Jesus, help me, right before he died.
Right.
Well, he could have, but he also could have gotten saved the day before or the night before or the night, that morning, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, listen, since all this stuff came out, I ain't putting God in no kind of box, man. He can do anything. Listen to me. God spoke the word and created the whole universe. And who did he create it for? He did it for me. And you. And Andrews too. Amen. Yeah, Missy.
You know, my mom, she really had a traumatic childhood with the way my grandparents were, especially my grandfather. He was very abusive and blah, 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 whatever.
o'clock? You better hurry.
Ah! And then my uncle... He had a lot of mental problems because of the upbringing and the way she talks, you know, she more or less talks like she doesn't think that they're with the Lord. And, you know, and I said to her, I said, I'm believing that Grandpa and Uncle Bill are saved, even if it was at the last minute. I said, I'm believing that they were saved. You know, the Lord can do anything. That's what I was going to say. So,
okay. Yeah, he can. That's what we've been trying to get across for the last, few months. I think everybody here agrees that God, you can't put him in a box. And it's, Andrew.
So you get a timeline for when you get an answer to prayer.
Yeah.
So it's a localized thing. You know, you got a cold cut. You got that tickling in the throat. The timeline has changed. The tickling's gone. Sometimes you just forget about it, and then it goes away, and then you get healed, you know. And the timeline where the, God stops the rain, you know, and He stops it from raining, and that's kind of wow, you know. And you know, it does. There is a timeline verse there that He's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. In His name, He's going to teach you all things, and then He's got to remind you of it. So there's a timeline in that verse to put it back in your noggin what He taught you. So that's pretty cool, because then He can remind you all the promises you have to have. So there's a lot, and the timeline for. I knew I watched all those stupid sci-fis. Anyway, praise God. Glory to God.
All right. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, something that was just coming to me as you're all talking about, you know, not putting God in a box and, you know, people have already passed away and stuff. And, you know, how we're supposed to forgive people, even though we may not have the opportunity to make things right with somebody who did wrong to you, but they're already dead or something like that. And, you know, we're always told, you know, we should, you know, forgive them and also ask God to save them. Well, if they're already dead, how's God going to save them? Why does God want us to forgive them and ask for their salvation? You know, pray for someone's salvation. You may not even have contact with them or even know that they're still alive or not, but you know, to pray for their souls that God would save them. Mm-hmm. God uses our prayers, you know, and our forgiveness, because Jesus prayed for all of them, you know, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, knowing that all these things that happened to him, what was going to happen to him, and all these things, he was still praying faith for these people who were crucifying him and had persecuted him, you know, because God dwells and works outside of time.
Question I have is, or not question, the thing that always that hit my mind occasionally is the soldiers that crucified him. And the one, remember the one, what the one said when the veil split? He said, boy, this must have been what he said he was. And I believe that man there got saved at the time. That's so. All right, we're out of time. maybe we could pick it back up Thursday night. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that'll be the first, won't it? 1st of August. Okay. God bless you. We'll see you Thursday night. Oh, yeah, Andrew.
Just one more. So
yeah,
a dream that he gives you could, like Joseph got when everyone bowed down to him, could be a future timeline. But he warned you about it. You get what I'm saying? Joseph had his father bowed down to him and all of the patriarchs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he was warned in a dream that that would happen, you know, and it did happen. So
it did.
Yeah.
And as David brought it out the other night, he never did get messed up, did he? Well, even when he was in prison for things that he didn't do, he overcame, because he knew that he had something going on in his life. And what he finally came out, that he was the second most powerful man in the country before it was all over with. And what happened? Mama and the daddy and the brothers come and bow down to him, didn't they? Yeah. Golly. How many of us would have given up at the first time? They sold me to these crazy people. My gracious, and they're going to take me down into Egypt. I'm, da, 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 da. No, he just happy-go-lucky, going his own way, doing his thing all the way through until the end. All the way through. And that should tell us something, shouldn't it? Whatever you're enduring into, you're going to get recompense for it. Not recompense. What is it? Restoration. You're going to get not only restoration, you're going to get awards for it.
Maybe that's why we're supposed to rejoice in tribulation.
Come on with it. Yes, that's exactly right. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's right. We could go up probably another hour if y'all know. I'm just kidding. But we can pick back up Thursday night. This is a good subject and it helps people. Really does. Hallelujah. All right. Good night, y'all.
Praise God. Bless you all.
We'll see you later.
Alligator. Good night.
After a while, crocodilus.